The Timberwolves' John Folkey is not only one of the best broadcasters in the business, but also KATE alumnus who got his start right here in Albert Lea.
Minnesota's defense, pretty solid. They held Golden State to just 42% shooting.
You've got to find ways to make that up in other areas.
14 offensive rebounds for 20 second chance points.
John Folkey has his finger on the pulse of the team every day up in Minneapolis, making him the perfect person to ask about everything Timberwolves. Every week, Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson does just that.
Is it becoming any more of a more legitimate concern? Fans are expecting wins. Even if it is there anything you can really do about it?
This is the Wolves Weekly Update with John Folkey and Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson.
You're listening to the Wolves Weekly Update, where we talk to the Timberwolves Radio Network's John Folkey about everything going on with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's also a KATE alumnus, now joining us over the phone. John, we talked last week about how the weekend, last weekend now, was huge for the Timberwolves going in. You really wanted to be able to get at least 2 out of 3 with the back-to-back and then another game against a team you hopefully wanted to beat in Washington, but ending up going 0-3 in that stretch was killer for the Timberwolves' playoff chances. And now, as things kind of start to separate in the Western Conference standings, Minnesota's on the wrong side of it, really floating toward the bottom instead of the playoff track.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with that Orlando, New Orleans, and Memphis three-game road trip, and how important that was right before the All-Star break. And it could have given Minnesota some momentum. And, you know, they went 0-3 on that trip and then came home and picked up a couple nice wins before the All-Star break against the Clippers and the Houston Rockets. And coming out of it, a win over the Knicks, a loss to Milwaukee, and then a big win over the Sacramento Kings. And you're thinking, like, okay, you know, it was, Nate, a week ago today that we were looking at the standings saying, with that win over the Kings, Minnesota's 3 games back going into this road trip against those teams that you mentioned in Atlanta, Indiana, and Washington. And you thought, this is where you hit the gas. This is where this team can really start to make up some ground. And instead, again, they go 0-3 on the road. And so you come back, you know, 6 games out of the playoffs rather than any closer like you had that anticipation for a week ago. So, you know, the playoff hopes certainly are on life support right now. You're not out of it. You never know what will happen, you know, with the Clippers, the Kings, and, you know, the Lakers continue to lose and some of these other teams. But, I mean, last night was a perfect example of just kind of how crazy things can get in the Western Conference. Thunder lose to Minnesota. Portland loses at Memphis. And then the Houston Rockets win at Toronto. And the Rockets go from 5th to 3rd. Well, all those other teams bump down in the standings. So, you know, there's opportunities there, but time certainly is running out for Minnesota if they want to try to really make a push.
The Timberwolves are right now in the middle of a 10-game stretch where 8 of those games are played in some way or another on a back-to-back, whether it's the front end or the back end. How much of that takes a toll on a team that then gets maybe a little bit more of a break in between the back-to-backs, but then has to play 2 days in a row? Is it a physical toll that a team has to go through or try to make adjustments with, and also emotionally going through the traveling and the long days and things like that?
Yeah, coming out of the All-Star break, I mean, it was insane. They went 5 games in 7 days in 5 different cities, and, you know, even though that stretch sort of wound down in that you got Friday and Saturday off last week, you were still on the road. You know, they traveled Friday from Indiana to Washington, D.C., and then practiced on Saturday, afternoon game, or evening game, I should say, against the Wizards Sunday night. And then, you know, back home for a film session and a practice Monday, home game last night, and then back out on the road to Detroit. It is difficult. And, you know, outside of the physical toll and, you know, the mental toll of having to, you know, wake up in strange cities and strange hotel rooms trying to figure out, you know, what day it is, where you are, and you know, then get ready for an opponent, I think the biggest thing is practice. You just don't have a lot of practice time. Anytime the team goes through a back-to-back, they always take the next day off. So in this case, it would be, you know, a Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back, they'll have Thursday off. The guys just have to recuperate, and they'll come in and get some treatment and stuff, but you don't get to be on the floor practicing. And then you'll get a practice in on Friday, but at the same time, you've got to, you know, measure that with how hard can we go, knowing that you've got another back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So it's, you know, you identify some things that the team needs to work on, and you have to flesh those out in film sessions, in walkthroughs, you know, not necessarily by going hard on the practice court for a couple of hours like you would like to do in those cases. So I would say, you know, I give the team a lot of credit, because coming out of that Washington game, I know the guys were disappointed. I know the coaching staff was disappointed, and, you know, they didn't have much time to fix things. So Ryan Saunders took the team on Monday through a very, as assistant coach Ed Pinckney told us yesterday, through a very honest film session. And they talked about areas where this team was struggling, things that they weren't getting done. And then they had to quickly turn that around and, you know, get after it against a very good Thunder team the next day. And the team did. So that film session, you know, even though you didn't get the practice on the floor time, that film session seemed to resonate with the guys. And they were able to make the adjustments and pick up a nice win over the Thunder.
And I guess if you flip the question on its head the other way, once you get finished with this 10-game stretch, you'll have 7 straight games with at least a day off on either end. And I feel like now, as we talked about, it's pretty much on as thin of ice as it can get. But these Timberwolves could really use that time off in between games to really get prepared for what's seemingly going to be a really, really hot stretch that they need to run on to make these playoffs.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, you know, you're talking about at some point here trying to work Robert Covington back in. And, you know, I know Covington is close, and so, you know, the more practice time he can get to kind of reestablish that rhythm with the guys and, you know, get himself into a flow, get his legs underneath him, that time will be key as well. But, you know, I think no matter all the situations that we're talking about, all of that, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to go out and find ways to win some of these games. I mean, you know, with the back-to-backs and stuff coming up here over the next week, you can't say, okay, well, once we get through that, then we'll start winning games. Because it could be too late. I mean, you know, you've mentioned it, like thin ice right now for those playoff hopes. So good win last night. I think Detroit is going to be a challenge. They're well-rested. They're coming off a big win over Toronto, and they've been off since, I believe, Sunday. So they certainly have the rest advantage. And, you know, when you come home, back-to-backs are challenging, but the fact that Minnesota doesn't have to travel in between the back-to-backs, and they're facing a couple of teams that, you know, are below 500 in Washington on Saturday and New York on Sunday, you've got to take advantage of those games. Even though it is a back-to-back, you're at home, no travel, you've got to find a way to pick up some wins.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about going forward. The 3 winnable games this week, it's a chance to go 3-0 against 3 Eastern Conference teams, while the West hopefully beats up on itself a little bit more. And when you look at the other teams around the same points in the standings, the Kings have a pretty easy week as well, but they play the Celtics once, I believe it was. The Spurs, I think it's the Bucks that they have, or those might be switched around, but still. And when you look at it, saying, okay, maybe that's one game the Timberwolves are able to pick up this week, but that's the point that it's at. You have to look at, okay, what days can we pick up games and make sure that you're doing it and getting those wins and definitely not losing anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, from here on out, you can't suffer losses to teams like Atlanta, you know, teams that are below 500, teams that aren't in the playoff picture. You just can't afford those types of losses. And, you know, I think back to a season ago, Nate, when this team, you know, for much of the year was in the top 4. And then they lost Jimmy Butler and, you know, lost a couple of throughout the year, there were a number of games that we looked back on at the end of the season and said, man, if you could have won those, you know, and there was one at Orlando, there was one at Atlanta, there was one at Brooklyn, there was a couple to Memphis late in the season, you know, when Memphis was out of the playoff picture. And you look at those games and say, if we could have won those, you're in a completely different spot. You're not fighting for your playoff lives on the last day of the season and sneaking in as the 8th seed. You're one of those top 4 seeds with home court advantage and a much better first-round matchup. So, you know, from here on out, you really can't afford setbacks to teams that are out of the playoff picture and teams, you know, that are well below 500, because those games do come back to bite you. And, you know, already I think we're seeing that as Minnesota – you know, is trying to climb their way back into the playoff picture. They've got a number of those losses on their resume, unfortunately, already, that could be the difference between being a playoff team and not.
Before we let you go, John, Karl-Anthony Towns has been on an absolute tear since the All-Star break. He's getting himself closer and closer to that All-NBA conversation. With the emergence of guys like Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid still being dominant, I didn't think he was there earlier in the year. Do you think there's been enough time in this second half for him to kind of get back into that All-NBA, even if it's just like a third-team convo? And also, I wanted to know, how much do you think it matters that the Timberwolves don't have as good of a record as some of those other players on the other teams fighting for those spots?
Well, I think Cat's year has been real interesting and has been an evolution. You know, you think back to the beginning of the season when the Jimmy Butler situation was going on and Cat wasn't really asserting himself. He didn't get off to the start that we expected out of him, you know, because of the numbers that he's been able to put up over the years. It wasn't the start that many thought he would be able to have. And then Butler was traded, and Cat, I thought, really stepped up his game, not just in the scoring and the rebounding, but in the passing, in the defensive areas. And, you know, over the course of the last few months, Nate, it's been really fun to watch those numbers continue to grow. I mean, you thought, you know, 26, 12, and a couple of assists, those are great numbers. And now over the last, I want to say it's 5-6 games, you know, he's at 35, 14, and 4 or something like that. I mean, his numbers are incredible. And add to the fact that, you know, he's nearly 7 feet and he's shooting 40% from beyond the arc. And his leadership, you know, that's been an evolution. That's been something, a role that he's gotten more comfortable in. He started to find his voice. The guys have looked to him, you know, as the leader of this team. The veterans have done a great job of being in his ear and helping in that process. So I think in terms of the total package, he's taken many strides this year. And again, that defense, which was, you know, the knock on him early in the season and really last year and the year prior, he's gotten better in that area. He's gotten better in the team concepts, team defensive concepts. He's gotten better individually. I mean, he's blocking some shots, but he's also affecting shots and then helping to finish off the possession with the defensive rebound. All those things are huge. All those things are what lead to winning plays and winning basketball games. And so, you know, as far as the All-NBA conversation goes, that one's challenging because you've got a lot of national media that vote on those types of things. And, you know, they're the ones who kind of create the narrative. And sometimes they create a narrative or a storyline at the beginning of the year, and they don't necessarily follow up and check back in, if you understand kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were a couple of nationally televised games early in the year where the conversation was, you know, Cat's not doing what many expect him to do. And then those guys go away, and they don't follow the team on a daily basis. And I think those of us that do follow the team and the fans that have kind of tracked Carl's evolution this year, I mean, I think certainly he belongs in the All-NBA conversation, and I think the numbers he's putting up are on par with those other guys. You know, obviously, record-wise, the Denver Nuggets and Philadelphia 76ers have a better record than Minnesota. But, man, it's not because Carl isn't putting up big numbers. I mean, this guy is doing everything he can to will this team to wins, and he's impacting it in so many areas. So I really hope that the folks that vote on those postseason awards do take the time to follow up and check back in on Towns' progression this year, because it really has been, you know, fun to watch and track just how much he's grown and all the different areas that he's impacting this team.
Yeah, I agree what you say about the evolution of his game. I feel like if you're making a three pickup teams right now at this point in the NBA season, I think there's no doubt Towns is on one of them. But if that's not what the awards are, it's all NBA for the entire year, and I don't know if, again, with what you said with the early parts of the season and also with the national media and things like that, I don't know if he can get back up there. But with the tier he's been on recently, I mean, forget about All-NBA third team or whatever. He's been, forget about most valuable big man. For what he's done for the Timberwolves, he might be the most valuable player that they've had in the entire league over these last few weeks, with just his impact on his team's chances to win some of these games.
Yeah, it's really been awesome. You know, ever since he he got those two games off after that car accident, and since then, I mean, he's just had the, you know, the pedal to the floor, and it's the way he impacts the game. I mean, last night he picked up two fouls early in the first quarter, and then essentially scored 39 of his 41 points over the final three quarters. And it's not just, you know, I know Joel Embiid has a three-point shot, but he's best when he bully balls inside. Mm. If you were to look at Cat and say, okay, where is he best? Well, he can jump hook over you. He can put it on the deck and drive right past you and flush like he did on Jeremy Grant. We saw a step-back, fall-away long two from him last night. And then you just got the, you know, the drag into a secondary break into a three, or the pick and pop into a three. And he's proficient in all those areas. And so it's hard to say, you know, he's a good three-point shooter, but he's better here. No, I mean, he's 40% from three. That's mm-hmm. good for anybody, let alone a seven-footer. And you know that when you get it to him in the post, he's got that ability to drop step or jump hook or, you know, finish through contact. And so he's very good in many different areas. And, you know, I think the amazing thing, Nate, is to think that he's, I believe, just 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So the future certainly is bright for Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's been really fun watching him fill in the parts of his game that he's been able to recognize have been something that's been holding him back. It'll be fun to watch him throughout the season, as well as it'll be fun to listen to John Fokey on the Timberwolves radio network, as he's there for a lot of Timberwolves games and things like that. You can follow him on Twitter to keep updated on everything he's doing. The ad again, is it JW Fokey, John?
Yeah, JWFOCKE.
All right, JW Fokey on Twitter. And, of course, you can hear him on the Timberwolves broadcast throughout the season. Detroit tonight, which is Wednesday when we're recording, in case you're listening online. And then a doubleheader over the weekend at home. Thanks again, John, for talking to us. We'll have more Timberwolves wins to talk about next week. I got a feeling.
All right, looking forward to it. Take care, Nate.